All right, guys, what's going on? We got 2 weeks till football, baby.
We are back.
We are so fucking back.
And it's Labor Day weekend next week, so, like, that weekend doesn't even count because everyone's going to be busy and doing stuff. So NFL football won't be in your mind, but there's college football as well to kind of ease us in.
Have you seen the week zero technically scheduled this
week?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either. Jesus Christ. What are we doing?
I mean, very cool that, you know, Notre Dame and Navy, that game's over in Ireland being played. So that's really cool. And one of my
parents actually over there to watch the game.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Payne's family.
Okay. Yeah, no, I had no idea they were playing in Ireland. I don't know how much college football I'll be watching this weekend, if any, but yeah, it's still cool.
Very cool.
But yeah, today, probably the best episode in the whole offseason.
It's spicy. It's always spicy. We're putting our reputations on the line with these guys.
Yeah, so it's our My Guys episode, our fantasy MVPs. It's the guys we're basically drafting everywhere. We find value in these guys. We're always taking them at their ADP. We're just super high in these guys for fantasy this year. And I think, honestly, I don't remember my guys last year, but we had some gems in there.
They're probably in the docs from where we had our notes from last year. He ended up still, you know, being a wide receiver 27. So obviously not great how it ended up. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think Carr was one that didn't hit, but I think my running back one did hit. I just can't recall.
I just took the layup in Jalen Hurts last year in the 6th, 7th round, and you know that was.
Yeah, we had said last year okay, this is who we're gonna take. You can't take them, and I did give you Jalen Hurts. I do remember that.
If we both want the same my guys, boom, let's go for it. We have no idea who either person picked here. So, but yeah, before we get into that, we got news and notes again. We have some another week of injuries, unfortunately.
And you know, I saw David Bakhtiari. He had came out and said that they should start training camp and all that the week after the 4th. It just gives teams an extra week and a half to 2 weeks to get more prepared, don't have to rush into it, and kind of ease into it. You know, not sure if that'll ever happen, but I thought it was a good idea because there's injuries every day, and it sucks. It sucks for the game.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've been asked a couple times now for redraft. I wanted to start with a quick question here. I've had someone ask me from the 6th spot in the 12-man league and from the 12th spot in a 12-man league, hey, what would you do? You know, who are you targeting on the turn? You know what? You know, I'm in the middle of the draft, not sure what to do. So, I sent this over to you this morning. We've both had time to really think about it. So let's just go beginning, middle, and end of the draft, kind of our strategy here. So, go ahead and talk about a little bit about the front because we both have pretty much the same strategy.
Yeah. So for me, I'm still trying to get those top end wide receivers, the Cooper Kupps, Tyreek, CeeDee. And Stephon Diggs. So those guys that are on high-powered passing offenses, A.J. Brown, he's a great wide receiver one, but that team doesn't pass the ball a lot, where CeeDee, the Lions, or not even the Lions, geez, but that'd be Amon-Ra, but the Bills, the Cowboys, the Rams, Miami, they throw the ball a lot. So I want those guys who are going to be getting me those PPR points. If I'm going running back, then I'm going with running backs who are catching the ball. Eckler, Bijan, supposed to Saquon. So that's what I'm kind of doing in the middle rounds. I'm looking at who's going to give me those PPR points because it's such an advantage to have a running back who can get you both points and compared to one who Nick Chubb, who he's great. Don't get me wrong, but he has to almost lead the league in rushing yards. A guy like CMC and Eckler. Eckler had 1,000 receiving or rushing yards last year, but he had 100 or 100 and something targets. So, and he finished higher. So that's what I'm looking for. Just those high PPR running backs or receivers.
Yeah. So we did a mock draft last week. I think first round, if I have picks 1 through 5, probably 1 through 6, it's easy for me. Yeah. It's CMC, Chase, and Jefferson. If I have picks 1 through 3, and then 4 through 6, I would take these guys in order. I would take Eckler, then Tyreek Hill, and then Cooper Kupp. We'll talk about Kupp. Well, I guess we can just talk about now. I mean, he's practicing. He logs his second full practice, and he's ready to go for week one. So, I mean, there is a lingering hamstring injury with him, but he's still a safe first round pick. But you touched on guys like Chubb and Diggs. If I have picks, 7 through 12, it's really about. At this point, I would like to go balance. I'd like to go either receiver, running back, or running back, receiver. Unless someone like CeeDee Lamb drops to like the middle of the second, something like that. But it is really just take your guys. And I'm still buying the hype on Nick Chubb, by the way, getting more targets and more passing work.
Oh, so am I. I love Nick Chubb for this year. I could easily see him being a top five, either even top two RB this year, just because that backfield, there's no one there. He is a great runner, like a Derrick Henry. They don't need those pass catching, but like you just alluded to, he could be more involved. And then the one guy we haven't talked about, it's kind of just our strategy, but I've been doing more mocks. I do have the 7th pick in one confirmed draft, and that's Travis Kelce. You talk about high scoring, a lot of passing opportunity, volume, offense, that's the Chiefs. You talk about a guy who's going to demand those targets, that's Travis Kelce. A wide receiver tight end room that it's just one person, Travis Kelce. So I have been looking at him and taking him in a lot of mocks, and I do like my teams when I do that, just because I know I'm going to get a guy who's going to see 130 targets. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what, those are like low end wide receiver ones. Like, right. That's a low end wide receiver one. Yes, I'm paying up for him, but I'm still getting 130 targets and 8 touchdowns.
It is nice taking your tight end early, because I'm not super in love with punting the position this year as I have in years past. So,
right.
I have the 5th pick in my last draft of the year. I will not be taking Travis.
Yeah, 5th is so hard because you could get a Tyreek and Eckler.
I'm hoping for Eckler.
Yeah, you very well could get him. The what I have up was from a mock I did a couple days ago, just to kind of touch on my guys and where they went drafted. And yeah, Eckler went to 6, Kelce went 5.
All right. Couple of news and notes. First one happened today, a couple hours ago, unfortunately. Jerry Jeudy expected to miss multiple weeks with a hamstring injury, carted off the field today. There's still optimism, quote unquote, for week one, but there's no way he's going to be ready for the first.
I saw he's out 6 to 8 weeks, and it's good news because it could have been season ending.
Oh, okay. I didn't see 6 to 8. Yeah, I mean, that's a more realistic timeline.
Yeah, that's what I saw, at least from one verified reporter. And so, it means, Cortland Sutton, his stock will rise a little bit. Marvin Mims, the rookie, his stock. All the other Broncos stock will rise a little bit, including Javonte, Greg D, because those targets, Jeudy was probably going to see 8 to 10 targets a game, probably.
Yeah.
Those got to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I just looked at the Broncos. They have a week 9 bye, so, oof. I mean, if Jeudy sits out till week 10, which is in the realm of possibilities, I mean, I already was lower on Jeudy than most people, but you just got to stay away from him this year.
Yeah, the only positive between him and Jameson, even if they're both out for 6 weeks, you can at least put Jeudy on your IR so that you can still have an extra roster spot, where Jameson, you can't. He's there. You cannot put him on IR. So that is a decent thing about him compared to like a Jameson.
Right. Terry McLaurin sprained big toe, turf toe.
Say too, turf toe. Don't say sprained big toe. That makes it sound so soft.
It does. And that's why I put it in here. MRI was negative. So there's a chance for week one, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't fully healthy. I mean, this is an injury that lingers. We saw with Adams a couple of years ago. We see it with a bunch of different guys. So this Jahan Dotson stock is rising. I'm assuming his ADP will jump up probably half a round to a round. Gibson will get more work if Judy's out, or if McLaurin's out. Curtis Samuel probably. I mean, I don't think this fully deters me from drafting Terry.
No, not at all.
Right, but you know, other guys going around him, you know, a round or two before or after him, I'll maybe look their way.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it's close to 100% that he's back for week one, unless obviously something does take a turn. But yeah, there shouldn't be any really reason to fade him. But if you're already on the fence and you kept going back and forth, teeter tottering, then maybe I can fade him. But if you're in on him, stay in on him.
Sure. Couple days ago, Jonathan Taylor was given permission to seek a trade, and his deadline is Tuesday. So he's got 4 or 5 more days here. I've seen the Bears, the Dolphins, and the Eagles are the three teams that I've seen circulating around. I saw a rumor, I don't know if it's confirmed or not, that he has 2 offers on the table, and 1 is the Dolphins. So I don't know who the second team is.
Yeah, I mean, I think for fantasy world, we want to see him in Philly or Miami. For fantasy world, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'm totally staying away from the whole Eagles backfield and pretty much the whole Dolphins backfield. So this would give people a solidified RB1 to confidently draft in their drafts in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. The Bears, obviously – he's still going to be going in that second round. That's kind of where he's been going. He went at the 207 in my last mock. That might get pushed up a little bit, but I think I would pass him at that spot if he went to Chicago. Again, it is a mobile quarterback. Yes, so is Jalen Hurts, but Eagles O-line, best O-line in the league. And we saw a running back last year be a RB1. So, like, we've seen it before.
Right. Every week, just know you're getting more Taylor news. This is not over.
Yeah, and even Josh Jacobs, there were reports that he was expected to be back week one for the Raiders, but he has not come back yet. There's been really no communication at all from the Raiders and Josh Jacobs. So even that's still up in the air, even though it's the expected to. There's been nothing over these last 2-3 days since that news broke.
Yeah, if I show up to my draft Saturday night and there's no Jacobs news, he's just off my draft board. I don't want to put my faith in something that's not 100% when I'm having to spend a second round draft capital.
Yeah, and he went at the they went back to back 207, 208 in my last mock, which is insane. You know, Jacobs was what, the RB4, RB3 last year, and
RB3, yeah.
And if he is back with the Raiders, he could very well do that again, 100%. So it could be a huge value for you, but it's a high risk and, you know, high reward. It pays out.
Yeah. Devon Achane considered week to week, after injuring his shoulder in week 2 of preseason. I mean, I didn't see the hit, but I'm assuming it's just, I heard that he got thrown to the ground and it's because of his size and his durability.
Yeah. Yeah. Great run. It was a great play. A defensive back, I believe, Lil, just picked him up and just slammed him. He's 180 pounds. It ain't big in the NFL.
No.
At 5'8".
Yeah, you'd like your NFL running backs to be 200 to 225, but
yeah.
And then the last piece of news I have here is JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, broke a bone in his wrist. I don't think as of this recording he's gotten surgery on it, but
nope, he was seeking another specialist.
But the expectation, I believe, is still to be ready for week one. How involved?
No. It is. He'll probably miss the first 2 games, most likely.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you have JSN on all your teams, so you'd know more than I would.
Yeah, it is expected that he'll probably miss the first 2 weeks, and that's at this moment. They do have a bye week 5, so if it is, he might be ready week 3. Do they just rest him those next 2 games? You know, it could be till week 6, unfortunately, just because they do have that early bye, but it could be week 3 and then, you know, and get some reps in there. We'll be ready to go.
I mean, if your draft has already happened, try and get him on the cheap, because I do still think back half of the year he will be a league winner. And if your draft hasn't happened yet, see how far he slips down the draft board. Grab him a round or 2 later.
Yeah, and he's an elite prospect, elite route runner. He just creates – quarterbacks like throwing to open guys, not covered guys. So, you know,
yeah.
it truly just does depend. Okay, is he going to be out 6 weeks? Because then again, he went in the 7th round, you drafted him, you know, the team that drafted him was their wide receiver too. You ain't playing him now.
Right. You got any other news before we get into this?
No, I think you got it all.
Boom. Let's do it. So, again, if you listen to our My Guys Fantasy MVP show last year, we did a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex. Could be any position. Last year, we did tell each other who our guys are, and this year, we have no clue.
And I think you'll be surprised by for sure one of mine.
I don't think you'll be surprised by any of mine, but I do think we will have one player the same.
Okay. Well, do you want to start at quarterback?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you go first.
So my guy for the quarterback position being drafted basically in the sixth round, his ADP is 5'10", Mr. Trevor Lawrence. People aren't talking about him enough. Whenever you say these mid-round quarterbacks, your mind goes straight to Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, maybe Lamar, if you can still consider him a middle quarterback. But Trevor Lawrence is going around later than these guys. He made the jump from QB 22 to QB 8 in his sophomore year. 4,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 5 rushing touchdowns. But he only had 7 games throwing at least one or more touchdowns. Let me fucking start over. He only had 7 games last year throwing more than one touchdown. You needed more consistency, and here comes Calvin Ridley. I almost paired these two together because over the last month, I have been getting more and more on the Ridley train. You add Ridley alongside Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Zay Jones. Tank Bigsby's getting all the hype in the world. He has top 5 upside if things go right for him, and he has a lot of chances with all these weapons. Like I said, his ADP is in the 6th round. If I stack running backs and receivers, I'll gladly take Ridley in the 4th round, 5th round if he drops to me, and pair him right up with Trevor Lawrence. I think, QB8, I think, probably is his floor this year. I think he could make that Burrow-type jump with these, Ridley's no Chase, don't get me wrong, but Trevor Lawrence could easily bump those numbers up to from 4,100 to 4,700 yards, tack on a couple more touchdowns, adding Ridley. He could even go down to rushing touchdowns. I think Trevor Lawrence is a great value for, if you're in an 8-10 man league, by the time Trevor Lawrence drops to you, most of these teams have a quarterback already. You could even get him in the 7th round if the board falls to you, right? So Trevor Lawrence, my guy this year.
Yeah, I do like Lawrence. I have taken him a lot, and I tried getting him in Dynasty, but I went Lamar instead in ours. But, no, I like him. And let's talk about his first 4 games. Indianapolis, Kansas City, high scoring. Houston, last year it was a QB nightmare because you could just run on him. Yeah. I don't know if that'll be the same with the new DC and what they're all bringing. So, still, probably good matchup. And then Atlanta. I think that's 4 great matchups to start out. And then Buffalo. I know it's a tough defense, but it's going to be a high-scoring game.
For sure.
So I love the pick. I love Lawrence. I've taken him in probably the most of mine, I should consider him as a my guy. He was my 2nd or 3rd option, but I wanted to get a little bit spicier.
Oh.
And this is where I think you might be a little shocked. I was all out on him early on. Didn't want him for a number of reasons. Rookies, they usually don't pan out. He hadn't proven anything in college.
I know it's not Stroud, and I know it's not Young, so that.
Yeah. And there was the notion that he might not be the starter right away. It might take him a couple weeks. But since that has come out, he has wowed them all, in training camp. And it's Anthony Richardson, if you couldn't put it together. It's clearly not Will Levis. It's Anthony Richardson, rookie for the Colts. He's wowed them in training camp, and he was named the starter this past week. So he's clearly done enough to solidify himself as the starter, as a rookie, for not having the greatest college stats. And I just wanted to look at, mobile quarterbacks. Obviously, they get a huge bump in fantasy, fantasy world compared to non-mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. I went back to look at Kyler Murray. His rookie season, he was the QB6. Okay? Very respectable, obviously. He only had 3,700 passing yards and 20 touchdowns. He made up for, and he had 12 picks. That's a lot of interceptions. he made up for it with 93 rushing attempts for 540 yards and 4 touchdowns. Only 500 yards. I truly believe that Anthony Richardson will rush for over 700 yards, maybe not at 3,700 passing, but could at 3,000 passing with the 700-800 yards and maybe 7 touchdowns on the ground. And you're getting him. I've taken him a lot now in my mock drafts. I'm getting him in the 10th round.
Yeah, his ADP is 9-10 right now.
And I'm pairing him with a Geno, a Kirk, maybe a Rodgers. I go back. I don't have to play him week one. I can wait and watch and be like, okay, is he actually doing anything? Is he running the ball 6-7 times a game? If he is, then I'm going to be confident the rest of the year that he's at least going to separate himself from a Geno, a Kirk Cousins possibly in because of he's having all those rushing attempts. So I love Anthony Richardson this year. This is probably the last time. If he's good, you'll never be able to get him at the 10th round, 9th, 8th, probably even 7th round if he's good or even shows that he can be okay.
Right.
So I am in on Richardson, but not as my lone quarterback. Again, I want just a safe guy that I can plug in the first 3-4 weeks, get a feel with Richardson, and then plug him in. And he could be a league winner towards the end of the year.
I'm glad you're finally in on him. I was hyping him up when we did our AFC South breakdown, and you were still kind of out on him. So
I was, and you know, he does have obviously this JT news. I don't know what to think about it. If it helps him, if it doesn't, I don't know. He does have a good receiver, Michael Pittman. I do like Michael Pittman as the receiver. They do play in a dome, which is obviously great. They play, you know, Texans are in a dome. Jacksonville's warm. And Titans are warm. So, like, six of their divisional games are good weather conditions, and obviously their home games as well. You know, he might end up QB 14 on the year, which you think gross, but it could be QB 20 the first 6 weeks.
Exactly.
7 weeks. And then towards the end, he could be the QB 5.
Look at Fields weeks 1 through 5, right? 1 through 6 last year.
Yeah, let's. I'm glad you brought that up. His first 6 weeks, we'll even go to, like, oh, there it is. I was looking at his projected. His first 6 weeks, he didn't have a game over 20. And then weeks 7, 8, we'll just say 7 through 11, because then he got hurt, 24, 26, 42, 40, 23.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it takes is just 6 great games, and that bumps you to elite fantasy status. So I am getting in on Anthony Richardson this year.
Yeah, I would I would never start in week one. You can't put that much trust into this guy, but the passing is still a work in progress. Go ahead and do that strategy. Take Richardson in the 9th round, take your other quarterback, and with your last pick of the draft, there's some Jared Goff's not being drafted. Matthew Stafford's not being drafted. There's a lot of not great fantasy value, right? But as your second quarterback, just a filler quarterback for the first, however many weeks, go for it.
And talk about a first fun week one. We just talked about with Lawrence, Jags, Colts in the dome. Richardson's
the two best teams
in the division. I could see that being a very high-scoring game if JT's there. If he's not, maybe it's a blowout. But if JT is there, again, it helps the team. Might not help Richardson himself, but it's obviously a better game with JT there.
Well, our two my guys are going up against each other week one. We'll see who the better pick was.
All right.
Nothing but AFC South so far this show. But my running back, I have – this is so I
know Mason, we don't have the same here.
No, I told Mason that 4 of my 5 guys I do not have in any single league. This is the guy I have in every league. It's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
His ADP is in the third. It's his 311. If you've listened, I fucking love this guy. There's some serious hype around this guy. You don't take the 12th overall pick when you already have solid guys, if you don't fully believe that this is your guy. And they were celebrating. They were nervous in the locker in the boardroom that they weren't going to get this guy. But I wouldn't be shocked if he saw 100 plus targets this year, caught 70 passes in year one. Right now, instant RB2 with upside. There's no way he falls below the RB24. I mean, he he reminds me of a younger Kamara. And I touched on this at the NFC North episode, but I wanted to bring this up again. DeAndre Swift last year, it almost felt like he barely played. Jamal Williams was getting everything. Swift only saw 34% of snaps. We expect, you know, David Montgomery to be the Jamal Williams of this year, and we expect Jahmyr Gibbs to play the similar role as DeAndre Swift. He only saw 34% of snaps. He saw 70 targets in those 34% of snaps. You know, the Lions, again, the Lions spent insane draft capital on this pass catching running back. He's out of the backfield. He's lining up in the slot. They want to utilize him in multiple aspects of the offense. You know, regardless of the timeshare with Monty, he will get his. On this one stat, again, I shared in a couple episodes back, but since 2010, 19 running backs have been drafted in the first round of NFL draft. Of those 19 running backs, 11 of them, so 58%, finished in the top 10 in fantasy points PPR as rookies. There is a world. I still stay by my hot take. Jahmyr Gibbs could finish top five this year.
Ooh, sticking with the spice.
I'm still sticking with that hot take. If Gibbs plays is on the field for 70-80% of snaps, even with my, going to be a game changer.
Yeah, I've been coming around more to Gibbs just because there isn't another pass catcher besides on their rookie, Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs. And again, we've talked about it. Got running backs that can catch the ball are just more valuable, and they might not. He's not better than Nick Chubb, but he could outscore Nick Chubb just from a massive passing work that he should be getting.
He could. I mean, yeah, his ADP is third round, fourth. So technically, basically fourth round. Gimme Gibbs every fucking time if I see him in the fourth round.
I also have not seen him in any mocks I've done going the fourth round. He's going in the third every mock I'm doing.
He is.
It's because of his upside. So totally get it. You know, great pick. I took him in my last mock. I went Bijan, Waddle, and Gibbs to start it out.
Can't beat it.
My running back, he's kind of like, you know, Gibbs. He's going earlier. You know, obviously we're not going to pick a guy like Eckler's on my guy. But my guy, he's going at the end of the second, early third. You're sticking with your hot take of Gibbs. I'm going to stick with my hot take. Tony Pollard could be the RB1 overall. He is a my guy for me. We look at Tony Pollard last year. He only had 193 carries and was still the RB8 on the year. And only 55. That's a good. But they lost Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke had 231 attempts and 23 targets. But those 231 attempts, they're not going to go to another.
Yeah, they're going to Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn might get 120 max. Out of the 230, Tony Pollard could get another 50, and that's still 180 that can go around, and he can get more work in this passing game. They lost Dalton Schultz. A couple guys, you know, Gallup's coming back from injury. They have Brandon Cooks now, so maybe the targets stay the same, but he's just going to get more attempts. And this is an offense that scores a lot. That's what you want in running backs. You don't want running like Damian Pierce for the Texans, who's just not going to score. He's not at a level of Eckler, CMC, Gibbs, but he's good at it. And he's going in the second round. At the end of the second, early third, if you can pair him up with, you know, if you go Jefferson, Pollard, and Amon-Ra, or CMC, Pollard, and Higgins, like, that's McCaffrey and Pollard could be the RB1, RB2.
They could. Yeah, I mean, if you
– with Pollard, and he's going to get better. And he was RB8 last year. I really don't see how he can be worse than an RB8 last year.
So Pollard or Ramondre Stevenson, they're going right around each other.
Yeah, they are. I think I take Pollard. It's a better offense. Obviously, the Patriots did just get Zeke, so he's going to eat up more than what any backup running back for the Cowboys is going to eat up. But I love that both of them, Jefferson, Pollard, and Stevenson, to start out your draft. Oof, just take the trophy, take the money, go to Disney World.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to put Pollard up there. You've always been more in on him than I have, but He could finish as a top five running back. I don't know about RB. I don't know about RB1 if CMC stays healthy 17 games.
He has upside to it, but he's probably I think, you know, and he was the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He was the 10th RB draft in this latest mock. That's his floor. You're drafting him at his floor.
All right. Let's get into receivers here. I don't know if you're going to be shocked by this one or not. I really haven't talked much about him. I haven't drafted him much anywhere, but Deontay Johnson.
Oh!
Is he yours?
He was my flex.
Oh, okay. Well, we could both talk. He was not the player I was assuming we were both going to have, but we'll both touch him on here. ADP, 7th round. He was a wide receiver, 39 last year. Again, we all know the narrative of zero touchdowns. 86 catches, 882 yards. Again, if he gets even 5 touchdowns, that bumps him up from wide receiver 39 to the wide receiver 21 in 2022. People are undervaluing the wide receiver 1. Yes, he's still the wide receiver 1 on this team, even though George Pickens, he makes highlights. You see him all over social media. People are just sucking his dick right now because he's the next great thing. No, Deontay Johnson is still the wide receiver 1 on this team. He's just one of 3 wide receivers in the league with 140-plus targets for 3 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was 10th in red zone targets with 18. He was 11th in total routes won with 240. He's still a very talented 27-year-old receiver, and I really put him as a my guy because in the 7th round, oh, my God, this dude's a solid, locked-in wide receiver 2 for your team.
Yeah, the mock that I'm looking at, I took him in the 7th. So, yeah, I'll just hit on some more. His last 3 seasons, so I'm not going to include his rookie season, but you touched on 144, 169, 147 targets. Again, he was a wide receiver 30 in PPR 30 last year. The other 2 years, 8 and 21. Why? Because he scored. He had 7 and 8 touchdowns. It was a Kenny Pickett rookie quarterback who just couldn't – he physically could not throw touchdowns. I think he threw 9 on the year.
He was allergic to touchdowns.
And if you say, oh, quarterback doubles his touchdown from the previous year, that's insane. That's not going to happen. It is when he only threw 9. Yeah. So and even if he throws 18 touchdowns, that's still very bad.
That's still
terrible. So you have to figure he gets at least 20 touchdowns. That's 11 more than what he had. Deontay just needs 5 to be a top 20 wide receiver, and you got him in the 7th round probably as the wide receiver 30. I don't – besides injury, there's no way Deontay Johnson is not a wide receiver 24 or better. Throwing it out there.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll put my name on that too. Lock it in, wide receiver 24 or better this year.
Yeah. So, so I'll take – I guess do your flex. Or, no, I'll do my wide receiver, I guess. My wide receiver is – I thought you were going to pick him. We're both high on him. And it's Jahan Dotson.
He was very close to being
okay. That's who I thought it was going to be. I'm trying to find him. I did not get him in this previous mock, unfortunately. So now I'm trying to scope him out. But anyways, we just talked about, obviously, Scary Terry, being banged up. That's not going to sideline him or really push Dotson up. He's only going to be up for max a game. But we saw what Dotson did last year. And when he was out there, he was truly on a different level. Him and Watson led the rookie receivers in passing touchdowns. It wasn't the offensive rookie of the year, Garrett Wilson. It wasn't Chris Olave. Guys are going in the 2nd round. It was Jahan Dotson and Christian Watson.
Yeah.
The only difference between those two and Dotson right now is the quarterback. And all we've seen from Sam Howell this offseason is he's the guy that we drafted him in the 5th. He was supposed to be a day 2 pick. He fell for some reason. And they brought over Eric Bieniemy. I can never pronounce his name. Sue me. but from Kansas City, he knows a thing or two about having an elite wide receiver or 2 elite pass catchers when he had Kelce and Hill. And Dotson's going to be that with Scary Terry. They both can easily see 130 targets. This team is going to throw the ball more than they have in the past. In the 12 games that he played, he was banged up in a couple coming back from injury, but he still saw 61 targets in those 12 games and 7 touchdowns. That is an outlier, obviously scoring 7 touchdowns in 12 games, But if he just keeps his total touchdowns from seven to, you know, seven, plays in 17 games, that's going to be a top 28 wide receiver. Plus, and that's at his low end. And again, he is going even later than Diontae Johnson. Not much. He went to 7-11, so a couple picks back. But I've seen him go in the eighth round before. So I just love – he's a first-round drafted wide receiver last year, the 18th. This is a team that wanted him. And they're like, hey, we have a wide receiver one. Let's go get another elite wide receiver. They did that. And he did nothing but prove it last year. And I think they are going to upgrade a quarterback, and they're upgrading at OC. So I'm in on Jahan Dotson and Dynasty and Redraft and Best Ball and DraftKings. I want every piece of Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, I still view him as the 1B to Terry McLaurin. But again, four rounds later, you can't beat that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I want Scary Terry, but I know I can get Dotson four rounds later, and they could easily be wide receiver 18, wide receiver 20.
Right.
So I'd rather take the value.
Take him around early
just so I know I get him.
All right. Well, tight end, I would be shocked if we didn't write the same name down. Say it. Say his name on three.
All right.
Three, two, one.
Waller.
Darren Waller.
Yep.
This is just a smash hit. This is really the only guy I wanted as my guy, you know, apart from Kelsey and Andrews, obviously. But he hasn't played a full season in 2020, but 2019, tight end three. 2020, tight end two. He'll be 31 by the time the season starts. I don't give a shit. There's no
– no, Kelsey's 34.
Exactly. His ceiling is the tight end – you know, you would think his ceiling's a tight end three.
Two. I think he could beat out Mark Andrews for a tight end two.
I think his ceiling is tight end four or five, but his floor, I don't know how you get him past the tight end 10. The tight end five last year, so not Taysom Hill is a tight end five. We're not going to include that. So the real tight end five last year was Evan Engram. He only averaged 8.3 points per game, and he only had six top 12 finishes on the year.
Easily
past that. So I think, you know, I still do think Kelsey and Andrews will beat him out. But if Waller finishes as a tight end three, I'd be like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. There's nobody on this team that Daniel Jones is going to be throwing the ball to.
Saquon and him, not even a receiver.
Right. Wandale had one top 12 game before his injury last year. We don't know how many, you know, how many games he's going to be healthy for. Where the hell emerges as the wide receiver one? Right. Hodgins finished as a top 24 receiver four of his last five games. Will that continue? Who the hell knows? So, Darren Waller, I wouldn't be shocked if he finished with the most targets on this Giants offense in 2023.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you talked about Engram. He averaged how many points a game, fantasy points?
8.3.
Darren Waller averaged more than Engram. He just only played nine games.
Right.
Like, that's all that it really was. He had 160. He would have averaged 160 points if he would have played, you know, throughout the season, which would have been, again, the tight end five or six, whatever Engram and Taysom Hill were. He's just a smash play, and you're getting him at the five, start of the.
After him,
it's really only Kyle Pitts that you really want. Unless you're just punting the position. But I would rather have Waller. It's a team that it's probably going to throw a little bit more, but there isn't another weapon like Kyle Pitts has with Drake London that's going to be taking away targets.
I know. This usually goes against everything I've always said against about tight ends. If I don't get one of the top few, I'm just absolutely punting. But this year, I don't know if it's the case with Darren Waller right there.
Yeah, and even Goddard, like I know he's one of, like, I don't like Goddard, but he's safe. You know, I said that before, and we talked about, I think, early busts or guys we just weren't in on. He's just a safe guy, which really that's all you need at the tight end position.
Right.
But Waller is safe, and he can go to the moon for you.
Yeah, Goddard does not have the upside that Darren Waller does. Kyle Pitts with the quarterback situation does not have the upside that Darren Waller does. Even George Kittle doesn't have the upside that Waller has.
There are four tight ends that have upside to be that could be tight end one or tight end two. Kelsey, Andrews, Hockenson just because of the offense, and he has good quarterback play, and Darren Waller.
Yeah. So you all five of your my guys are out there. Go ahead and list them off again.
So I have Anthony Richardson at quarterback, Tony Pollard at running back, at tight end, Darren Waller. My wide receiver is Jahan Dotson. My flex is Deontay Johnson.
All right. So I have Trevor Lawrence as my quarterback, Jahmyr Gibbs as my running back, Deontay Johnson and Darren Waller, same as Mason. And my flex, this should come as a shock to nobody, is Miles Sanders.
I did think about him too, but I replaced Deontay with Miles just because I didn't want to seem like a homer. But I went like in our dynasty leagues, but I went and I went and got those guys because I like them so much. But so I put Deontay out there.
Yeah, I've been high on Miles Sanders the second he got traded to the Panthers. His ADP is in the fifth round. The team wants to run the ball, and they run the ball well. I don't see Bryce Young coming out and slinging the ball for 3,500, 3,800 yards. They have a great offensive line that can move people. This team wants to establish a run and protect their rookie quarterback. You know, they didn't draft a running back. Miles Sanders is a clear workhorse. He's coming off his best finish ever as the RB13 with Hurts, you know, two other running backs. He got 1,250 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns. Last year, he only caught 22 passes. Frank Reich, the new Panthers coach, he came out and said, you know, a month or two ago, he said he wants Sanders to be in that 50 catch range this year. If he's catching 50 passes, he's going to see 70, 80 targets. In the RB, quote-unquote, dead zone this year in the fifth through seventh round, holy shit, Miles Sanders is a smash hit compared to, you know, guys like James Conner, Rashad White, Cam Akers.
Pacheco.
Yeah, give me Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders has so much more upside than all those other RB dead zone guys. If you want to take a onesie position, like, it, you know, if you start your draft Jefferson and then you take like an Andrews and, you know, Olave's there. If you punt your RB until the fifth round and take Miles Sanders, I won't bat an eye. That's a great pick. That's a great pick as your RB1.
Yeah, they always say, you know, I love Miles as well. We made that trade and I got him. The only notch is the rookie quarterbacks don't dump it off to the running backs, and it's been proven. But they are making it a point so Bryce Young dumps it off. And you hit on the Panthers O-line. They are in the top, I think, 8 when it comes to run blocking. They're just average when it comes to pass blocking. So Bryce Young is going to be pressured. And Sanders will, I think, see dump offs because of that reason. I think it's just like Bryce Young, he can't take a lot of hits. He's a little guy.
Yes.
So I think there obviously are always exceptions in life and in sports and fantasy. And I think this could be an exception.
Yeah. I mean, I've been drafting Miles Sanders in almost every one of my mock drafts. I don't have a share of him this year, and I have my last draft coming up. So I am I'm going to try and snag him in the middle of the fifth round.
Yeah, he went at the 6-1 in this last mock.
Well, he's mine at the 505. If
none Madison of my, went at the 505 technically in this one.
So yeah, those are five my guys. Next week we're gonna do. I just came up with this. I feel like we need to do this because we'll be talking about 8 players: 4 from the NFC, 4 from the AFC, 1 from one player from each division that nobody's really talking about. You know, you don't even have to really be high on this guy. No, it could be for whatever reason. Nobody's talking about him because he sucks. Nobody's talking about him because he's a super value and nobody's really realizing it. So Mason's taking NFC. I'm taking AFC. And then week after that, it's our fucking week 1 preview.
Oh, my God. I can – God, Chiefs, Lions. If I wasn't a Packer fan, I would be the biggest Lions fan this year.
I know. I love it that the NFC North teams can just come together and root for the team that is going to win on that Thursday night, the Chiefs, and I hope they win by 40.
And I said this to a friend who he's from Michigan. He's been called out twice today, Payton. You know, he roots for the Lions, just being from Michigan. But I had said to him, you know, if it's a close game, whether they win or lose, it's close, Lions are going to take that as a win. Like, hey, we just went to Arrowhead. We hung with the champs, but if they get blown out, this might be the Lions of old. It could hit them and just a huge, like, shit, are we actually good? Because, you know, they got Seattle. Seattle's a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
Atlanta obviously improved, and then they're in Green Bay. Like, they need to keep that week 1 close just for morale, honestly.
If the Lions get blown out week 1, nobody's going to take them seriously.
No, no. They're going to have to hang 50 on a team for them to be taken seriously if they get blown out.
Yep. So, yeah, that's our next couple weeks here. As always, follow us on TikTok. Simba's been blowing up on TikTok. Have you even seen that?
I do like how after I called him out for chalk picks, he ain't picking chalk anymore.
Oh, my God. He picked the Cardinals to win the division. He picked the Texans to win.
I think Anthony stopped picking. You're letting Simba pick now.
I have not swayed him at all. There's always treats under every helmet.
You're putting the good treats, his favorite treats, under the favorites. I know.
No, they're all the same treats.
All right. Hey, whatever helps you sleep at night.
But yeah, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube @TheKneelDown, and we will catch you guys next week.
All right, see you next week.